Canadian Broadcasting Corporation presents Searching, a documentary series about and exclusively with young people today.
Searching for a better world, a better place to be. Searching for a little truth, a little honesty. Searching for an end to war, an end to poverty. You had all yesterday's, tomorrow belongs to me. And you know our time will come. You know our time will come. You know our time will come.
Part one, My Folks Don't Understand Me.
Like if you're taking drugs or you're having premarital sex, you wouldn't want to go home and tell your parents that, because immediately you know you're not going out anymore. That's it. You're finished.
Oh, shotgun.
And this is they've stopped communication.
And then they say you're not telling me anything. You know, you don't tell me what you do when you come home from school. You know, and
so really, in that sense, it misses the point of whether premarital.
My mother really got upset one day when one day I told her if I ever had any problems, I'd never go to her. And she was really upset, you know?
Same thing when I told my parents that they didn't know me and I didn't know them. They just went insane.
You have to admit that parents and, I'm taking from the parents that I know, that they really don't have any idea what the hell is coming off. They don't have any idea where we're at. They don't know what we're doing. They don't know what we're doing.
And
they're blocking it up. They don't want to believe what is bad. They don't want to believe. They say, oh, well, Mrs. Baker's Johnny is doing dope, but my son, he doesn't do dope. Okay. But I think that the kids now are more aware, like, we know what's happening. Eh?
Okay.
And I think that when we're parents, we're going to sort of say to ourselves, well, like, look at our parents. They didn't know what was happening.
Father is 30 years older than I, and he doesn't see why, that though we try, he and I don't see eye to eye. My father sits me on his knee, he's telling me how nice it would be if I saw the world through his eyes. And the old folks keep on talking, and the words that they're saying now is, ain't it shocking how the young folks keep on walking away?
In any look at youth today, you have to start where the troubles, anxieties, and tensions really begin, in the home. Relations between today's kids and their parents tend to be at the root of almost any issue involving young people today. It's appropriate, then, that we start this series on youth in the home. Communication is the in word today, and it's very much on the minds of young people involved in trying to relate to and be understood by the adult world, and especially their parents.
The hardest communication is with your own parents. Talking to other adults, you find you can communicate quite well.
Yeah, because with your own parents, you don't open up. But with other, you know, like adults, you tend to open up more.
You're not possible, like. I think a lot of you open up to your parents and what happens, but they
use it against you.
Well, look what you've been doing. Now we know everything that's going on.
with other adults, you can open up, and they're not your parents, so that they're not going to hassle you for what you're saying.
Yeah, I think a lot of us have realized, though, that the generation or communication gaps really doesn't exist. It exists with everybody. People are people. And you have just the biggest communication gap.
Yeah, but it exists with parents because it's sort of instinctive.
Are you talking about individual parents?
I don't know. I think parents sort of have an instinct. The same way mothers tend. I've noticed that in so many mothers, they tend to be very masochistic, right? And parents tend to put what you know, what they wanted themselves to be, they expect their kids to be.
Yeah.
And if the kids aren't what they expected themselves to be,
right.
They call their kids failures. And
where have I failed?
You know, yeah, you know, the whole thing.
That group in a drop-in center was mostly in its late teens. Younger teenagers at a high school also discussed the problem of communicating with one's parents, but on a continual, serious basis, not just when crises occur.
I think the real communication between parents and kids is that's sort of a compulsory thing. You have to tell them the situation is like that, and they have to, you know, they have to accept it. They have to make a decision whether they either accept it or reject it. And I think most parents accept a situation like that. But I think the real communication is tested when you can sit down with your parents and talk about something which isn't entirely relevant to yourself and to them, something which doesn't really affect you perhaps, and see what their opinions are about it, you know, instead of something which is so involved with you.
Before you can really relate to your parents, you have to say, okay, well, let's cut the nonsense. I want to talk to you about something, and I don't feel like, say, having to hint at it for 2 weeks and then finally have the parents beg you to come out and talk about it, which for a lot of, say, younger people like my 12-year-old sister is the current situation, where she won't say what's on her mind until, say, she's gotten really depressed about it and where it's really gotten on her nerves. And finally, my mother can manage to sort of squeeze it out of her. So it's just a matter of, say, getting honest with your parents and saying, okay, let's talk about something. But not be afraid of it.
Yeah, but it's very hard, you know.
It's very hard, yeah.
Like, it's hard to face authority and to learn how to face it, which is something we're supposed to learn, you know, while we're teenagers.
The atmosphere at home is something which is so important to a kid, because really that's their only life. And if they don't have that, then what else have they got? They sort of build up this pseudo-society little thing where they hang around on street corners and smoke pot.
Yeah, well, then it sort of varies again. Say, it can be the fault of either the kid or the parents, or both. Say, the people that get along in their families the best that I've seen are the ones that can talk comfortably and freely with their parents. And then the other situation is where, say, a guy or a girl will actually be nervous in the presence of his father. Just to be nervous when the father walks into the living room and, say, the tone of the conversation will change, and the conversation will be based on whether or not the father is there, because you can't say certain things in front of your father. And I think that's due to the fact that either the kid cannot relate to his parents, or the parents are not used to relating freely to, say, an adolescent.
I think it's natural, I mean, to be afraid of your parents. Not, I mean, not really afraid, but to have
that's
a sort
more respect.
Of fear. Yeah. You
more
know,
respect, which is
yeah,
really
but,
necessary.
But the people I'm talking about actually get nervous in the presence of their parents. It's okay to have respect, but if it's really sort of hindering you from talking to your parents, if you're nervous,
you got something to hide.
That's it.
Or it's because you know that you can't relate to your parents. And I know a lot of parents that just, you know, cannot sit down and talk to their kids because they're a little bit tense about talking to their kids, or because they just don't understand.
The older teenagers tended to be more aggressive about their relations and their problems with parents, and to have less trust or respect.
Our parents have said the problems from today stem because they've been too permissive.
Right,
if they kept us caged in little boxes, we never would have thought.
But look yeah. today.
If you're going to get told, like, if you tell your parents where you are and you know you're going to get a phone call telling you to go home because they don't like where you are not going to tell them. You're going to lie. You're going to say, I'm over at so-and-so's house, when you're actually somewhere else. But if you have this atmosphere...
I think everybody here has done that a million times.
Yeah. If you have an atmosphere where you can say, look, I'm going over to anybody's house, and no, their parents are not home. No, I do not know if they'll be dope. They're probably there will. And your parents say, fine, be back at a reasonable hour because I'm worried about you, not because you have a curfew. And just...
It
depends how you're going to bring up your kids. If you're going to bring up your kids on the trust bit, if you're going to bring up your kids not on the pal bit, but it's sort of, you know, a really close relationship, you know, so that
a domestic
the kid
democracy.
Can actually come to the parents and say, look, I've been doing a lot of acid, or I've been doing a lot of this and a lot of that. I need some help, you know? And, like, the parent is not going to say, why are you doing this? I mean, you know, there's probably a psychological reason, and go into that route. Or, you know, just sort of having a relationship with your parents that is cool, so that they understand each other.
But on the majority, the way you're
all talking, it seems as if you're asking parents to be inhuman, you know, to accept everything.
If you go to your parents, okay, a simple matter of curfew, if you go to them and say, I think that I should have my 1 o'clock curfew dropped because I'm having a good time and there's no reason for me to come home when I'm having a good time. I promise I won't be in that late and I won't do anything bad. I won't be arrested. And if they only say, you have to be in at 1 o'clock because a 16-year-old should not be allowed out any later. I mean, if you give them a reasonable argument rather than get this thrown back at them, you're too young to decide for yourself.
I've been talking to this chick and her parents really don't give a damn what she does. And she feels really insecure.
If any one factor were to be singled out as a potential catalyst of trouble and tension between parents and youths today, it is surely appearance, and especially hair.
Like hair. Long hair is, gets to be a real hassle with adults so many times because they don't respect people for what they are or what they look like. I think kids have that idea.
They make false associations with the hair.
Yeah.
How did your parents act towards you growing your long hair?
I have a lot of problems because I have my long hair and I want to keep it. And the point is, I'm trying to get across that people should be respected for what they are.
Yeah, right.
But I think
if I see a kid with short hair, I don't look at him and say, oh, God, you know.
I think in the
kid.
Same way, though, if a parent is vehemently against someone with long hair, if it really, truly, if they just don't like it and can't stand it, I think the child also should have respect for the parent.
The amazing
compromise. But in a case like that, I think that the parent is a bit disturbed, so, you know,
no.
respect it.
No,
not always disturbed.
Misinformed, I guess.
Conditioned is the best.
Maybe conditioned.
Yeah.
But
I used to have long hair, and my parents used to have some hair. Every day I'd come home and get a haircut.
Why don't you get your hair cut, Wilson? Why don't you be like the rest of us? Why don't you get your hair cut?
I think the parents... And my hair was really long. I got this for 4 months, and so I decided, well, one day, why don't I get my hair cut? I got my hair cut, and all of a sudden I got my brains cut, too. I mean, because I walked into the house, and I got hugged and kissed, and I said, you're back, you're one of us. And you sort of see, you know, they expect, you know, if you get your hair cut, you're straight. You got short hair.
Tara,
how did
you best change?
Like,
the adults, you know, like they see a guy with long hair, you know, well, he takes drugs. They associate long hair with drugs.
That's where the media.
That's where the media has failed. Yeah, but there's a certain amount of truth in that.
Yes,
and
there is.
And for you to physically show you don't dig what your parents are saying. I don't believe those lies you're telling me.
Yeah, when you see a kid with long hair, right? Many people associate them with drugs, but when I look at an adult who has short hair, I don't necessarily say, well, you know, he's an alcoholic. Maybe he has a drink or two, but I don't immediately think of that in my mind when I see a person or, you know,
Typical really into the establishment type thing, which I think is more parallel than saying he's an alcoholic.
I mean,
we might tend to make that generalization where they say,
I never make that generalization just so people can't say to me.
Let's say you're talking about adults say you see somebody with long hair and associated with drugs. Well, what about you? But you see somebody with long hair, you not maybe associated with drugs, but you somehow
you're
identify,
more
with,
inclined
him.
Yeah.
If I saw someone with short hair, all my friends don't have long hair. I don't just stay with people who have long hair.
That's not my point. The point is you're talking about the false associations, and I think it's. it's not only adults who do this, it's also kids themselves.
No, but there's so many people that take drugs and have short hair.
But the thing is, alcohol is not as prejudiced as social stigma, you know? Like, people aren't that down on alcohol. And the people are...
They should have every class to be.
Yeah, of course. But the thing is, people, all these well-respected community people have been... were bootlegging or whatever they do during Prohibition. And, this has come to be a standard accepted thing. And long hair is not a standard accepted thing, just as drugs are not. And, people need a scapegoat. And... parents would be very happy to associate, I'm sure, instead of associating drugs with long hair, if they associated alcohol. My boy's growing up just like me, hick.
Well, but the point
children is,
like, with my long hair, right, my mother doesn't want to be seen with me, because she's afraid that other adult friends of hers, will look at me and, oh, God, what have you done with your son, how can you let him have long hair, and it must be drugs, it must be this, it must be that, But that's not where it's at all.
Well, you know that.
I know that, but this is what we've been trying to get across to parents.
My father is 30 years older than I, and he doesn't see why, that though we try, he and I don't see eye to eye. My father sits me on his knee, he's telling me how nice it would be if I saw the world through his eyes. And the old folks keep on talking, and the words that they're saying now is, ain't it shocking how the young folks keep on walking away? And he drinks the scotch and he smokes 2 packs a day, yet I heard him say the kids today should be put away for turning on. I must respect the law, he's telling me, and yet I see that even he cheats on his tax returns. And the old folks keep on talking, and the words that they're saying now is, ain't it shocking how the young folks just keep walking. And my father talks all through the night, telling me what's right in the hope that I might try and follow in his shoes. But my father's world offers little I can use, and so I choose to just refuse to pay my worldly dues. And the old folks keep on talking, and the words that they're saying now is, ain't it shocking how the young folks just keep walking away?
In order to really talk at any kind of a deep level, you have to sort of get a common language. You have to establish certain facts first and accept them. And then get into the important things, right? And with parents, like these basic things that are you don't agree with, and I the disagreements with parents are more a matter of belief, their values, what they accept, their priorities.
Well, the parents are running scared. That's all. Because of what they keep finding out about other runaways and all the trouble that runaway kids are getting into, and they don't realize that they're allowing these kids to run away by not being understanding at home. That's the only thing.
They're scared.
Parents are also scared.
No.
Right. They're scared because they don't understand, I think. I think that's a very major reason.
No, I think it's even more psychological and Freudian than that. I think it's because they're just afraid of losing their kids.
Yeah.
Whatever the loss may be in the loss of their own values, or just in the physical loss
they don't want their kids to think for themselves. They want them to be like themselves.
You know, most of our parents must be from, I don't know, wide range, 40 to 60. When they grew up, they had this thing, you got married, you went to school, you should go to college, you got married and had a family, and your family is the rest of
and
your life, that's
you
the end.
Like that, right?
And of course, when they lose their
down.
Whole family, like, your kid turns 15 and all of a sudden she disappears from home, they're lost. What are they going
to
do?
Yeah, it was strange. I talked to my mother A while ago. About one of my usual discussions. Yeah, I talked to my mother, and she said that when I left home. Like, I shouldn't worry about it, you know, that she knows that I'm eventually going to leave the house and go off and, you know, do my own thing. And get, you know, go off and live by myself or whatever. And then, you know, I got the feeling that, wow, you know, it's kind of strange when someone says, especially your mother says that to you, because I felt as though, in a way, I had a responsibility to stay with her. You know, I was getting worried about her.
It's the same humoring your parents type thing, right?
Exactly. And it goes on both levels. I mean, parents humor kids humor parents. And
okay.
Which goes back to the point that we're going to make, which was that you said that parents and, well, people in general, when they talk about things, have to set down a basis, some kind of a basis upon which to build up their arguments. And look, the sad thing is also, again, that the basis for the arguments, especially in the case of a parent-adult, are usually very superficial. They stand back to semantics, even. Like a kid's linguistic habits are different from his parents. You know, he uses different words.
They alienate.
This is one of the reasons why, you know, kids feel easier with kids, because they use the same language. And this is so ridiculous, eh?
Oh, but it really does make a difference.
It's
superficial.
Okay, except our kids, different languages, well, you know, different terms evolve as, like, trying to get away from the norm, you know, the regular...
No, it's just, you know, every generation has its own language.
True. 23
Yeah, you're having so much trouble.
And as you get older, you still use these expressions, eh? You still use these expressions. When we're older, we'll say, that's cool, and do your thing, too, you know? And our kids will say, wow.
It's bad, though. I really hate when I see it. When I see in a book... This is hippie language. Dig. To dig is to bite. To rap is a discussion. And this completely turns me off, and it turns so many kids off.
Yeah.
Like, when I...
Another
any
thing
individual
is that they give us, look, when you're old enough, you can leave home. Or they tell us, if you don't like it, you can leave. The only problem is, I mean, you've got these economic things. You want to go to college, and you don't want to work all the time, and you want to get somewhere. They don't seem to realize
it. It's also a ploy. There's a tool used by parents upon which to exert their control. Whatever their motives are, and intentions, their intentions may be good, but it's still a financial control over their youth, and also legal.
Legal, definitely.
Financial.
With my hair, you know, my mother says, I hate it, so I said, I'll leave, okay? And she says, as soon as you leave, I'll call the social welfare corps, and
well,
they
you
pick
off,
you up.
Like, you were an example. You were off allowance because you wouldn't cut your hair right.
Exactly. You know, I don't mind. I'd rather be what I want to be. If I want to have my long hair, I think I should be able to.
I was told at the beginning of the year that if I couldn't get along with the family, that I should leave. And so and then I think about 3 months later, I say, I'm going to leave, and my mother and my father almost die. I mean,
no,
you can't leave. I mean, you just can't do that.
It's a strange thing.
People don't do that.
Parents have to,
you know, and yet they say, well, leave, you know, if you want. It's sort of the little thing they use to keep you within the narrow border lines that they want you.
Except
they
have to resort to the games, right?
Yeah, but parents know that till 18 they can hassle you. They don't have
but
to give you allowance.
You
all they have to
you know,
do is give you a place
right
to sleep,
off, you know, like,
3 meals a day or whatever, you know.
What do you do with a kid who leaves home for the summer and living on his own, and he's managing fine, and he's been cooking his own meals, and he knows when he has to get to bed because otherwise he won't be able to wake up for work the next morning. September, he's got to go back home because there's school. All of a sudden, he's to be in at a certain hour, and he's to have his meals with the family. Like, just what do you do? Another thing is they just don't trust us. I have a room down in the basement, and my mother walked down there, and there are two rooms down there, and both doors were shut, and two of my friends were in one room, and me and another were in the other room. My mother comes down, stands out in the hallway, and screeches for me to come out. I said, you should have walked in. I mean, we weren't doing anything. I'm not going to be used. Your room is a necking room or something. You're moving upstairs. And there's nothing wrong. They're really afraid to look. Afraid to walk down, afraid of what they might see and might not see.
Hair, four-letter words, and staying out late are one thing. But when it comes to drugs, I asked where they stood on the communication line.
You don't. You get told, stop, you don't know what you're doing, because, well,
My parents grew up, were kids during Prohibition, and they heard a lot about heroin. And it doesn't matter what you say to them, they won't listen to anything. They believe that marijuana is bad, and that is it. They have told me on numerous occasions, go out and get yourself drunk, but do not touch any form of dope.
Yeah, well, my parents
which
have
is very hypocritical.
My parents have a supposedly liberal attitude, just because they say we don't really know of anything that's wrong with grass or hash. It has a soft rub, but we don't want you to smoke because it's against the law.
Mm-hmm.
And that's considered a liberal attitude.
Or sex, which they felt adults made far too much fuss about.
It's overrated,
yeah.
Really. It's, parents take it as a taboo that is, like, when they have sex, that's not sex.
Why do you have to wait till you're 21 to have sex when, like, the province of, Quebec started? Then, Lower Canada, the daughters had to be married by the age of 14 and sons by the age of 16.
Just the fact that you're ready to have sex by the, at such a young age.
Physically.
Means that you should be able to have it. And if parents had attempted to, they say that you might be prepared physically, but you're not prepared mentally. That's a favorite argument for that. But if they did attempt to explain it to us, rather than handing you a book on sex and saying, this is what happens when you're married, and don't try to do anything before.
Yeah, many parents seem to think that sex is solely for reproduction after marriage. But, there's
but then,
pleasure
of course,
aspect
your mother is on the pill. And since being on the pill means she can't have any more children, then she is just saying, like, when she says it's only for reproduction and she herself is not doing it, it's not a very good argument. It just doesn't work. High school kids will go to people who are just a little bit older or to a sympathetic friend's mother or somebody who will listen to them. But, I mean, going home to your own parents and saying, I think I would like to get some form of birth control, they freak completely. I mean, you wouldn't be allowed out of the house. When, in fact, you should be able to go to your parents, because otherwise, if you don't have it, you come home pregnant, you're 1,000 times worse.
The younger teenagers did concede, however, that it must be pretty hard to be a parent these days, and that perhaps young people really expect too much help from them. Too much, that is, for their own good.
I mean, it's true. I mean, adults can't answer every question that you have. I mean, like, let's say you fail. Your parent can't do anything. It's up to you. I mean, they can't just click their finger and it's going to solve your problem for you.
Well,
that's all
part
of accepting your own responsibilities.
It's a good thing they can't do that.
Yeah.
Because many of them would do it. And,
sure.
We never grew up to be adults, but we'd stay children.
Searching for a better world, a better place to be. Searching for a little truth, a little honesty. Searching for an end to war, an end to poverty. You had all yesterday's, tomorrow belongs to me. And our time will come. Our time will come.
This has been Searching, one of a series of documentary programs about young people today. Theme and message music was written and performed by Robert Ruzicka. The series was researched, narrated, and produced by Alan Yates and made available by Radio Canada International.